Not
Okay,
even.
everyone is. I did it. Everyone's muted. Everyone is muted. Okay, let's learn over here something. Let's learn some woman hagim. Let's talk about chiyuvim. Who has a chiyuv? Who has a right to get an aliyah in shul? First thing is, did you pay your membership dues? That's the most important thing. If you're not a member, if you're not, this is always a very, always a hot topic. You have people that are, you know, they're davening in the shul all the time, and they don't pay membership dues. Okay, the shul needs money to survive, and someone that does not pay membership dues just because you daven all the time does not give you, that does not necessarily give you a right to get an aliyah. And that's a pretty basic, simple thing. You know, there's a very common shaila. It's a very common shaila in many, many shuls, where you have a shul where someone only comes there on Shabbos. Only davens there on Shabbos. During the weekday, he doesn't daven there. He davens in a local shtibul around the corner. He davens at the koisel. He davens here, he davens there. And then he has yahrzeit. So he comes on a Tuesday morning. He comes to shul, nice and early, 6:30. I have yahrzeit today. I want to daven shachris. And there are people in the shul who only daven there the whole week. They daven there. They daven there every single tefillah except for Shabbos morning. Why? I don't know. Whatever you want to make, you want to make some jokes about this. It is what it is. This is what it is. And the people who daven there during the week, the fellow davens there during the week. Let's say he's within shloshim, or let's say he also has a yard site. And now there's a conflict. Who gets the amud, or really who gets the aliyah? Let's say it's a Monday morning. Monday morning, walks into shul someone. He says, "I have yard site today." Who are you? I never saw you before. And the other fellow says, "Who are you? I never saw you before." And what's the difference? The one that walked in Monday morning, he only davens here on Shabbos. And the one that's there every single day never davens there on Shabbos. And now it's Monday morning. Now it's not Shabbos. Now it's Monday morning. And they both want the aliyah because they both have a chiyuv. Who gets the aliyah? Who gets the aliyah? So if one of them is not a paying member, and one is a paying member, then if you're not a member, you're not a paying member. I mean, obviously, you know, every shul, you know, you have to make an assessment of how the membership works. Some shuls, no one's a member. Everyone's a member. I remember a shul where there was a conflict about something, and the other shul says no, it's not going to be a conflict because what we do over here is for members only. So it's not going to be a conflict. It was a fraud because basically in that shul there is no membership. And the whole Klal Yisrael are members. So what does that mean? But let's say you have a regular shul where there is such thing called membership and there are membership dues. And one person pays, the other person does not pay, then there's nothing to discuss. The person that pays the membership dues, he has kedima. That's a hands-down given. That's a dvarm pshutim ad moed. But let's say both of them are members, but one only davens here on Shabbos, and one only davens here during the week. And the person who comes on Shabbos wants the aliyah Monday morning, and the person Monday who davens here the entire week, he wants the aliyah Monday morning. Who wins? There is no real answer to this question because you can't really judge. There are many variables. Every situation is different. It's a very complicated question. But basically, the one that davens there on Shabbos, he has more power. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes this. He has more power. Because if this
they
is...
They call that, they gave that, they name it the blue paper. That's what they refer to it as. It came up in a few dintoris that I was involved in, but because if you asked, what I said at the dintor was, if I ask you in the street where do you daven,
we're losing you.
Daven, you daven in Shabbos. There 6 days a week. You're always going to, somebody asks you where do you daven, they mean Shabbos,
right?
And that's what it's not even sure.
You identify. Basically, it is accepted in society that you identify with the shul where you daven in on Shabbos.
But it's become a legal problem when their shul wants to sell or do some basic business. The court will give credence to someone who davens during the week as one of the being one of the
an
people
equal.
That keep the shul in business.
People, they'll
but the court, a lot of times, will give it back to the by us. So a few times when they went to court, the court said they don't want to get involved. You should go to an attorney.
Okay, so this is always a hot topic. Who has Kedima? But it's one thing that is for sure. When both people are paying members, there's a lot of precedent. As Rabbi Mayeski said, when you ask a person, where do you daven? On a shidduch resume, when a boy or girl are dating and they have a shidduch resume and they put down where are they members, they don't put down on the paper where their parents daven, their father davens during the week. They put down where he davens on Shabbos. If this is where you identify with, of Moshe held, that gives you, when everything else is equal, but remember, there are a lot of variables, not every case is so simple, but generally, when you daven on Shabbos, this is your mokim. And you, indeed, you have kedima where everything else is equal. Has this changed today, since the time of Rav Moshe? I believe to a small degree it has. I think years ago, when I grew up as a kid, years ago, there was definitely much more of an emphasis of where you daven on Shabbos. Today, it's a little bit less. It's not the way it was 30 years ago. There's no question that today, when you daven during the weekday davening has taken on a very significant, your presence there is significant when you daven during the weekday. And it seems to me that in the weight, again, every situation is different, but the weight of where you daven on Shabbos is not the same intensity that it used to be years ago. How does that have a practical nafkamina? Allah, I do not know. Anyway, you come over here to Kedima. So that's the first. Let's put that aside.
Part of the problem is we're more mobile as a Jewish society.
Things have changed. A lot of things have changed over the last 30 years. And the davening during the weekday it took on a life of itself, which can almost be viewed independently than where you daven on Shabbos. So the halacha remains, where you daven on Shabbos is the ikar, but the weekday also has significance. Okay, so therefore, let's put that aside. That's the first issue. Who has kedima when you have a conflict of getting an aliyah, and everyone is, the first thing is, are you a paying member? If you're not if you have a shul that is established where in order, there's something called membership in the shul, which almost every single shul has, there's membership, and you have not been a member, you have not gone through the shown basic decency to pay your membership dues, then you're out, then you have no rights. But if you are a member, and there's another fellow who is a member, and he never comes, he only comes on Shabbos, you come during the weekday, okay, so this is a very big topic, and generally the one that comes to Shabbos is more weight. But let's put that aside. Let's go now to different types of...
As the ad says, membership has its privileges.
Absolutely. Let's discuss the different types of chiyuv. First chiyuv talk about is the husband of a woman who gave birth. He appears to have a very significant kedima than almost anyone else. The Baal Yoledes, a husband of a woman who gave birth either to a boy or a girl, this is even if his wife is not coming to shul. Just the fact, in other words, his wife is in the hospital or his wife is at home. We're not discussing over here when the wife comes to shul to say Birchas HaGoymel. So he should get an aliyah. Yeah.
That's after 40 days and 80 days.
Because of a carbon, that's for the carbon toida.
Yeah, but I'm saying that he has a chiyuv that he can block out anybody else.
It's only after 40 days of time. You're saying after 40 days of because of the carbon. You're saying because of the carbon?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. He actually doesn't bring that down over here. I fully understand. I remember what you're saying is correct.
If his wife comes to shul,
that's a separate issue.
Then he can block out anybody, basically.
His wife comes to shul. They're different. You're a gabbai. See, you're a gabbai. I got to be careful what I say over here because you know your stuff over here. Baruch is a gabbai. So Baruch is saying that after
in my whole career, it never ever happened that someone came over to me and he said, it's 40 days, it's 80 days, I have to get an aliyah. Never ever happened by me. But it's brought down in the Svara.
That after 40 days, halach is a woman who has gives birth to a boy, for 7 days she is tameh. For the next 33 days she is dam toyar. After 40 days she has an obligation to bring a karbon yoledes. Who has the obligation? The husband. The husband has the obligation to bring the carbon yuledes. That carbon today translates into him getting an aliyah. If she has a girl, if she has a girl, then he has a girl, then it's 14 days of Yimei Tuma and 66 days of Yimei Tahara, which comes out to 80. After 80 days, the husband has an obligation to bring a carbon. So that obligation translates to him being entitled to get an aliyah in shul. Now, Baruch, so what happens if the husband gets an aliyah the first Shabbos? Does that mean that he's no longer, he's potter, no longer he has an obligation after 40 days and after 80 days?
I don't know, because I'm just telling you, it never ever happened to me that someone came over to me.
Yeah.
And he said, my wife never came to shul, and now it's 40 days.
Now it's 40, so it seems that since this is only a minhag, to go and get, the aliyah should be the replacement of the 40 and the 80 days. So it seems that if they get the aliyah earlier, if they do get it earlier, then that's it. They're done.
They bring the wife to shul. A guy comes up and he says, my wife is in shul.
So that's a very complicated topic. Many hold the wife coming to shul is only to make a birchas hagoimel. It's not because of the carbon.
Even if the wife comes to shul, it's even before yard site. He gets the aliyah before yard site.
He gets an aliyah before. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But that's a birchas hagoimel. I mean, there are different opinions on this matter. On when the wife comes to shul, who has the obligation to bring the korban? It's the husband. The husband, he has to pay. He has to pay for. He's the one who really brings the korban, not the wife. The yoledes has an obligation that a korban should be brought for her. Who is the one that brings the korban for her? Her husband. In addition to her bringing a carbon, there's also, this is a very big question, in the time of Chazal, did women bring a carbon toida when they gave birth? It doesn't say anywhere they did. There are four people who bring a carbon toida. A choyle shenisrape, a person that was released from prison, a person that travels in the midbar, and a person that travels over the yam. So, those are the only four examples where you bring a carbon toida. Today there is no carbon toida. Instead, we make a birchas hagoimel. Baruch shegmolani, shegmolani kol toiv. We make a bracha of shem malchus. So there are many commentators that say, let's say rachmanu litzlan, a person was in a car accident. Rachmanu litzlan. And there was an impact. Okay, we're not talking about a case of the car, you know, there was a near miss. There was an impact. Does the person have an obligation to make a birchas hagoimel? Halacha l'maaseh, yes, everyone does, they make it. But many poskim say no. That's not one of the four cases. There's no such thing. There's no halacha to make a birchas hagoimel, to bring a carbon toida, if a person was in an accident. The Chazal listed four very specific examples. A choyle shenisrape, a person that was yotza mibeis ha'asurim, someone who travels in the desert, someone who travels over the yam. Where does it say that a person was in an accident? Something happened to him. He was in a wagon. He was traveling in his wagon, and the wheel of the wagon fell off, and the wagon went down a ditch, and he was and a miracle, he's still alive. Well, these things did not happen in the time of Chazal. They certainly did. They probably happen even more frequently than things happen today. And yet Chazal don't say a guy was going in a wagon and the wheel fell off and he went down a ditch and he came out alive. He makes birchas hagoimel. So why today do we make birchas hagoimel? What's the pshat? Why is it? The answer is, you're not bringing a carbon. It's a shevach. You're making a bracha. So does the bracha really relate? Does it say anywhere that a woman who gave birth to a child, going through the trauma of giving birth to a child, she brings a carbon toida? It doesn't say anywhere. This is going on from Maisa Bereishis, women giving birth to children. And it doesn't say anywhere that a woman brings a carbon toido when she comes out of labor. She brings a special carbon, a chatos and an oila. She brings a chatos, Chazal say, because when she was giving birth, the tsar lady is so intense, she made a shavua, she was maharer, sinful thoughts during this time of leida. An oila, it's a gift. An oila is a gift to Hashem. It's part of the yoledes, whatever it is. It's part of the process. But it's not a carbon toida. Achatas in oila. So why should a woman go bring this? The woman doesn't bring a carbon. So you'll say she was a choilish in Isrape? Chazal make it very clear that Leda is a natural part of life. There are times women die and women get very, very sick from Leda. But in generally, Leda is darkoi shel oilam. It's the way of the world. When we talk about a choila, it means something was not supposed to happen. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Leda is built into the system. Although you'll say a woman who's a yoledes is weaker, is sicker than people who suffer you'll compare. You have one fellow who was sick. He was extremely ill, near death. And he was sick, whatever. He was very, very sick. And then he recovers. So he has an obligation to bring a carbon toida. And next door to this person who was very, very sick, there was a woman who gave birth, a regular birth, with just average, and she was bedridden for a month. So you'll say, who was sicker? The woman who was bedridden for a month, she was in a lot worse condition than the fellow next door who got ill with some very serious disease. And yet, the person who got sick with a serious disease and recovered in 1 week, he brings a carbon toida. Or and today we'll say Birchas HaGoimel, but the woman who's the Yoledes, who was in a lot worse condition from a natural birth, she doesn't bring, even though, because that's her nature, whatever, she got all shake from the Leda, caused her to get sick, and she's at home bedridden. She, Chazal, said, no, you don't bring a carbon toida. Why? Because the woman who gave birth, although she was sicker than the next door neighbor who suffered from a disease, she is still in the category of darkoi shel oilam. Taisa says this. And therefore, that type of choile, no matter how serious it is, unless it's classified by doctors as something which is, you know, totally, totally not normal.
Like a high-risk pregnancy.
Right, unless you'll categorize like a high-risk pregnancy, exactly.
Even though pregnancy is...
Is always high risk, right?
Of risk, but that,
all
that,
of these terms today are very fuzzy.
Course.
All the terms today are very, what pregnancy is not high risk. Everything is very fuzzy. They just,
no,
just
there's higher risk.
Okay, lower risk. We know too much. Today we know way too much today, so we're able to categorize all of these things. Years ago, probably half the cases we would consider today to be high risk. And years ago, we never thought about it. Chazal yet did not require this woman to bring a carbon toida because it's in the category of darkoi shel oilam, and that does not require a carbon. That's how it. So therefore, when a woman after she gives birth and she comes to shul, and the first time she's still the different minhagim in the more modern Orthodox community, the woman herself will actually make the bracha of Birchas HaGoimel from behind the mechitza. I saw this many times, where the rabbi gives a clap, and the woman from behind the mechitza, she makes the bracha, and everyone answers, Amen, Misha Gomcha Kol Toiv, who, I forgot the words, I forgot whatever, she makes the bracha.
Hu Yigamolcha
Kol Tov Sela. She makes the bracha, and the people respond. Rabbi Mayevsky, do you do that in your shul? Does that happen when a woman comes, wants to make a sagomel, in the middle of Kriya Satara?
The women in my shul, probably except for one or two, would know how to do it.
Okay, so but this is something which I've seen this done a few times. In the more right-wing communities, this is not done. Instead, her husband is given an aliyah, and she answers to her husband, when her husband says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevayroch, she answers, Baruch Hashem HaMevayroch Li'olam Vo'ed. And that is considered to be a fulfillment of her making a Birchas HaGoimel. You'll ask the question, so why do you need her husband to do it? Why can't she just answer Baruch Hashem HaMevarech Li'olam Vo'ed to anyone? The truth is, it's true. Anyone. She doesn't really need her husband. But in order to, you know, to make it a bit more ceremonial, so we give the husband Aliyah, it causes a bit more of attention. She's with Mefarsim. It's also, you know, part of Birchas HaGoimel is to publicity, is to publicly let it be known that you're giving to Hashem shevach v'hoidah. So therefore, by giving her husband aliyah, people are paying attention. Look, her husband is here. His wife is here. She's going to answer quietly behind the mechitza. Baruch Hashem v'barach. This is a public recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the chesed that he has done. Okay, now what about the aliyah? So, okay, I'm not familiar with the halacha.
I'm looking at the, I have an article sitting in front of me, Lashon Kodesh, and he lists the kedimas. These kedimas are based on the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Levush and all that, and it's number four. It's number four on the list.
Who's number one on the list?
And it says that if the lady, it's the first Shabbos when the lady comes to shul. The husband is not a chiv in aliyah till the lady comes to shul.
At all.
She doesn't show up. He's not a chiv. He's a chiv in aliyah if it's a boy. If it's a boy, then it's the Shabbos before the bris. He's a chiv.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, I hear there's obviously a lot of opinions. What I'm reading over here is totally not relevant for us because I'm reading from a Belza. I'm reading from a Belza Sefer, and these are just minhagim, so this is totally not relevant for us. And you're right, what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, we follow the halacha. But even what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, we should be aware that there are it's a little bit fuzzy.
It could be different.
It's very fuzzy. I know, for example, in Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin, Rav Hutner established a very big principle of Kavod HaTorah. And when Rabbi Yonason David, they have Chaim Berlin, they have two Rosh Yeshivas. They have Rav Aaron Schachter, Rafua Shalema, and there's Rabbi Yonason David. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. And whenever he comes from Eretz Yisrael, so he gets an aliyah. He gets an aliyah. As just, you know, he comes, the airplane arrives 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, he's there for Shacharis on a Monday morning. So out of respect, he doesn't come often. He doesn't come often. It only comes very, very rarely. When he comes, you know, he sits, they have a special table, a special chair. He sits in the front. And of course, he gets an aliyah. What happens in Chaim Berlin? Okay, not the Chaim Berlin, it's not a big place. You know, it's like just, you know, how many people are already diving there? If there is someone has yard site Monday morning, and that Monday morning of Yonis and David shows up.
Probably Rabbi Yonason David gets the aliyah.
What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Who gets the aliyah in Shulchan Aruch? The yard site. The yard site gets the aliyah. Let's say there's a bris. I don't really pay attention. It could be that they wouldn't always give him. I remember once a story. I don't know the degree of how far it goes. But there's no question that they don't do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's not in Shulchan Aruch, really. This is not Shulchan Aruch. This is in the back of the article sitter, telling you from the Levush and telling you from a collection of Tamei HaMinhagim of what is accepted of the order. It doesn't say anywhere in the back of the article sitter that when Bionis and David comes to Eretz Yisrael, he gets an aliyah and he pushes away a person that has a chiv. It doesn't say that. But that's what they do. They tell the person, we're sorry, you know, our heart goes out to you, but, you know, if we don't give him an aliyah... It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace for everything that we represent. Everything that he's the boss, Kavod HaTorah, and he gets the aliyah, and that's it. That's the way it goes. That's how it is. So, if this wasn't Shulchan Aruch, they couldn't go. They couldn't do that. This is not in Shulchan Aruch. This is something which is convention. They're minhagim, and there's a lot of room to break the rules. And you know where you break the rules? You know where the best place to break the rules is? Where there are people that are very sensitive. You'll have a person who has yard site, and you'll have another person that might be even the more important chiyuv. Let's say he's making a bris. Let's say a father of the child is making a bris. He goes first. The bala bris goes before yard site. And let's say there's a person that has yard site, and you know that the person, he got an aliyah for his father in his yard site every single time it came out on a Monday or a Thursday. And you know that he's going to be ois mensch, we got sabroch in a person, if he's not going to get his aliyah. So guess what? It's within your rights to be moichel and your covered on your obligation to get a bris by the child, in order to let someone else, if it means so much to him. These rules are not etched in stone. And each community has their own minhagim. Our school did a very big toiva. They did, so it's very hard to find the source for the Seder Hadvarim, and it's not always so clear, and they basically gave you an outline in the back of the siddur of the order of chiyuvim. So let's just discuss generally different types of chiyuvim. There's one, this, what I'm reading over here from this sefer, okay, again, this is the minigun bells, it doesn't mean anything for us, like we said yesterday, this is not relevant for us, but it's just interesting as a springboard, as a backdrop to discuss some of these topics, of the different types of chiyuvim. And one of the chiyuvim, as Rav Baruch mentioned, is a very different type of chiyuv, is yoledes, a woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. And as we mentioned, there's something very unique about a woman who gives birth because she has an obligation to bring a carbon yoledes, unishalno forim sefoseinu. When you learn Torah, especially when you read the parshas of the korbanos, it's the equivalent. Now, you're not going to read the parshas of a yoledes, obviously. In fact, it's brought down that the husband, after day 40, day 80, he should open up a chumash and read the parshas of the yoledes, unishalno forim sefoseinu. But as a token fulfillment, there is such a principle of getting an aliyah. Because since there is an obligation to bring a korban, so when you have an obligation to bring a carbon, so in our day and age, as a custom that translates on the Shalma Fodim Sifaseinu, you get an aliyah. Abarak pointed out correctly, well, the carbon first begins on day 40 and day 80. Yet today, there seems almost to be a rush to give to get an aliyah immediately. And why? I'm assuming it's because anyway you're not bringing a carbon. It's just Noah zecher ledavar u'neshalom fanu sefaseinu. So we're not makbid on the zman. It should be day 40, day 80. Okay. Now there's another reason, obviously, and that is kriyas hashem. That's another very, very, very basic principle, is that if you have a girl, you would probably argue that giving it to a girl because you want to name the child over the kedusha of a sefer Torah. And this is something that is very important to appreciate. Is that there's something very holy about doing something over a Sefer Torah. Now let me give you an example. I have another Sefer we used to spend a lot of time on, fortunately I haven't really used it a lot lately, is Rabbi Tezner. Rabbi Tezner, an unbelievable goyin. Rav Tezner, I forgot his first name, he wrote probably 15 Svarim. They're basically halacha svarim, and more than just halacha, and he has a section, incredible section on yizkar during the shalosh regalim, and yizkar is a minhag. There's not much. You're not going to find a shulchan aruch on the laws of yizkar. He spent a lot of time doing research on yizkar. And he's very upset. He's very, very disturbed about the Minog Yisrael at Yizkar. You know, probably almost every single shul, when Yizkar is recited by the tzibur, after everyone goes out, people who are not saying Yizkar, the Sifrei Torah are usually on the bima, covered with a talis. And he says, that's a bezoyin. That's not the way it's supposed to be. The biggest sechus is to say Yizkar when you're holding a Sefer Torah in your hand. And when they're saying Yizkar, only one person can hold, there are usually two Sefer Torah when you say Yizkar, the Zmaftir and the Sefer Torah. It would be a tremendous zuchus to hold the Sefer Torah when Yizkar is said. Normally what happens at Yizkar? They make the Mishaberachs, they finish up the laning, they make all the different Mishaberachs, maybe they say Yizkar some shuls for the Kedoshim, for the people who died in the Israeli army, and then they give a clap on the bima, Yizkar. And people who are fortunate to have children, have parents, they leave. So when they leave, there's a commotion, they put the Sifrei Torah on the bima, they cover with the talis because it's a break. People have to leave the shul. And if you're fortunate to daven the shul where there are a lot of people, it can take a few minutes until everyone leaves and it quiets down. Okay? So in the meantime, it's a bezayin for the sefer. So you put sefer on the bin, you cover with the talis. And then everyone, okay, now ready to start. Yizkar Elokim. And what happens? They leave the Sifrei Torah on the bima covered with the talis. That's not right. The only reason why you're even coming to shul to say Yizkar is to say Yizkar in a place where there is a Sefer Torah. And the person who's able to hold the Sefer Torah in his hands when they say Yiskar, he basically has the biggest chus of them all. And if you would auction this off in shul, who has the zuchus to hold the Sefer Torah when they say Yiskar, you can probably raise a lot of money for the shul. People would pay a lot of money to have the zuchus to be the one that is holding the Sefer Torah in their hands when they're saying Yiskar. But I'm telling you, if you go to every shul in this neighborhood, probably 99% of them, the Sefer Torah is on the bima covered with the talus. So I read this, I was very impressed what it said. So the next Yom Tov, when I was in shul, they were up to Yiskar, and Baruch Hashem, where I daven, there are a lot of young people, Baruch Hashem. And the place, you know, it's relatively speaking, there are not that many people. And there's a senior person who davens there. He's the one that leads the Yiskar. He stands at the beam and he leads the Yiskar. And then when we finish the Yiskar, he then says a Yiskar for the Kedoshim. And he says for the Kedoshim. So I said to him, could I hold the Sefer Torah? I said, there aren't so many people here anyway. Why are we leaving it on the bima? Why, you know, we should really, that you're supposed to, I told him this whole thing. So he looks at me and he says to me, in a very nice way, he says to me, listen, he's a lot older than me, has a lot of experience, he deals with a lot of people, and he says to me, you know something? I don't know much about this. And if you're telling me this is what it says, I trust you, you're right. It makes a lot of sense. You're 100% right. This is the way it probably should be done. But what do you want from me? This is the way we've been doing it all the years. This is the way they've been doing it in all the shuls I've davened in for all the years. This is the minhag. I just can't, at this moment in time, when you come to me 5 minutes before Yiskar and you're telling me to make a major change, I'm not going to go make changes in the Minhag Yisrael. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way they've done it in this shtiebel, in this shul, and that shul. What you say makes a lot of sense, but let's. And he's right. You're going to go change all Klal Yisrael. Right, Tezner is very insistent that it's a bezoyon. It should be said over when you're holding the Sefer Torah in your hands, and it's the biggest schus to actually be holding the Sefer Torah. And why then is it not done? I don't know. But one thing you can take out of this, and that is, and this goes across the board, doing something while holding a Sefer Torah or in the presence of a Sefer Torah gives what you're doing an enormous amount of power and chashivas. It's interesting that when you name a girl, it's even more powerful than when you name a boy. When you name a girl, you're naming the girl over an open Sefer Torah. When you name a boy, you're naming the boy after the bris was done. Made a bris milah, very nice. It did a mitzvah. Moiser nefesh. Sos anoichi alim rosecho ki moitzei shalol rav. The baby is crying. You moiser nefesh. It's a korban. Al Torah. All the Torah and the chashivas of the bris milah is everything. Achiv karas. There's no bris milah. Bris milah is everything. I mean, what more could you possibly want, right? Yach Avram Avinu, he says to Yitzchak, Simno yodcha tachas yireichi, tesis to Eliezer. Make a shvu on the bris milah. Rabbi said, what's more chashuv? A bris milah or a sefer Torah? The crying of the baby or a sefer Torah? I would assume a sefer Torah. Torah is Torah. Everything is in the Torah. Everything. When you name a girl, isn't that amazing? You're naming a girl over a Sefer Torah. You called up to her the Torah, you make a brach on the Sefer Torah. You make a bracha rishona, bracha achrayna, and then you name your child over the sanctity of a Sefer Torah. That's a very significant thing. Boys don't have that tzchus. A boy does not have that tzchus. A boy is given the name after the bris milah. When everyone's on their way to eat the bagels and the lox, and running here, running there. Halo davar. There's something very significant about that. And therefore, I don't care. And these are bells and minhagim. I'm trying to understand this just as, you know, nothing that we do. It seems over here, from bells, the biggest kedima they gave, maybe I have to read this a little more carefully, was to name a child. To name the child. So as Yardside, think about it. I have two fellows today, right? They only can give an aliyah to one of them. The Baal, the Yardside, or the Kriyas Shem. So what happens if you don't have enough, if you can't do it? Let's say for example, let's say there are two people who have children. What do you do in shul? Baruch, what do you do with two people? You give one the aliyah and the other one you just make the mishaberach, even though he does not get the aliyah. Is that correct?
In terms of what?
Let's say you have two people who have girls, two balabatim.
During the weekday?
During the weekday. And they're both Yisraelim. So right. One gets an aliyah and they name, and the other one you just make the mishaberach.
Just in general.
Let's say in general you have two. You have two members who had girls, and they both come to shul on a Monday, and they both want to name the baby today on Monday.
So you would ask them to find out between themselves.
Right. Fine. They fought it out. One person won. So the one that won, what do? He gets the aliyah, and then you make the mishaberach. The one that lost, what do you do with him? The loser. What do you do with him? So I'm assuming, I'm sure I saw this happen. What?
It got stuck, the...
The internet, yes. So what do you do with the loser? What would you do with the loser?
The loser would stay by the bima.
Right.
And we make another mishaberach.
Oh, exactly. Right. So you stay by the bima. So he doesn't get an aliyah.
It's still by the sefer
Torah. It's still by the sefer Torah, but it's not the same. It's not the same because you didn't get the aliyah. You're right. It's still by the sefer. You're naming the baby over a sefer Torah. Absolutely. But, you know, anyway, these are just minhagim. This is not halacha. It's not as ceremonial as you would like. What's the mila? The mila is to name the baby over the Sefer Torah. So now, Baruch, you're the gabbai. He's a professional gabbai for many, many years. Yardside and a baal, the naming of a girl. What do you give kedima?
Does the woman come to shul?
No.
Is the woman there? For
no,
the
she's not there. They're naming the baby.
The
yard site. And the name of the baby, baby, you come over and they make the mishaberach, or the baby.
There's no chiyuv to name the baby.
Right. Okay, there's no chiyuv to name the baby. Correct. Absolutely. That is what it probably says in the back of the article, Sidur. Now I don't know if I'm wrong. Over here, he has all the kedimas over here in the bells of minhagim. I don't know if this is halacha. This is maybe the person who wrote the sefer didn't, and I have to study this. But I don't think it's so far fetched to give the person who wants to name his child the aliyah, and let him name his child over the baby and push away the yardside. Why? Because you're giving a person a name. The yard site, the person's not here anymore. He's in the Olam HaEmes. He doesn't need this. We do this, okay, it's a schus. We know all the different things that we do for the schus, for the niftar. The living come first. The living come before the dead. One fellow has a yard site, and one fellow is here to name his child. He had a girl. Technically, you'll show me all the sources why a yard site, the yard site is more powerful, more potent, more significant. Tzaddik, Gadol Hadar, this, that, you'll show me all these different things about the yard site. But the bottom line is, the person who has yard site, he's coming to commemorate a person who's no longer in this world. He's in the Olam HaEmes. On the other hand, you have a person here who is coming to give a name to a child that will live for 120 years. And the naming of a child over a Sefer Torah is a very powerful experience. And it makes sense logically that the naming of the child should come first. Because it's not just you giving a name. If you don't, you have to appreciate why are you naming the child now at this moment in time. If you don't appreciate, oh, you have to give a name to the child. So big deal.
Yeah, but I just want to throw in something. Yeah. So not to be disrespectful. Again, as we discussed numerous times, we don't have feel-good Judaism.
We don't have what?
Feel-good Judaism.
We don't have feel-good. So you follow halacha.
Yeah, you have to follow the halacha.
Right, 100%. 100%.
Whatever Bells does, Bells does, because Bells does. But we can't.
100%. 100%. If it says in the Levush, it says in Mishnah Berurah, it says there's no question. 100. I could not agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. The only reason why I'm saying this is, I really should not have said it that fashion, is that let's say there is no yard site, and there's only the naming of a girl. It's to appreciate the naming of the girl is happening over a Sefer Torah.
Right, right.
It's not. It's
half the time a bris is not even done by a Sefer. A lot of times a bris is not even in
shul. Exactly, exactly.
It's not with a minion even.
Exactly. And that is something very significant. Now, is it significant enough to push away a yard site? By us, as we said 100 times, no. We have our own little world. We have our Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah. There's a certain Seder Halacha. But in these in Yonim, it's a little bit, it's not, a lot of the Halachas that we've made up Halachas, they're not real Halachas. They're really more Minhagim. It's conventions that shouldn't be fighting in Shul. There shouldn't be fighting. So we do, the people get a lot, they get very hot if they don't get their Aliyah when they have a yard site. Comes to naming a baby, people don't care so much. It's no big deal. They're very happy they have a child, so that the happiness of the child offsets everything else. So there's a certain convention. Is it real halacha? I don't think it's real halacha because I've seen it been these laws being broken so many times that they were real halachas. You couldn't like you said, there's no such thing as feel good Judaism. 100%, you gotta follow the halacha. By the Ashkenazim, we pretty much, you know, you go to a place, they have certain guidelines, v'zehu. I'm reading over here what they're doing in Bells. I'm not reading it correctly. I'm just using this as a way, at least in the few times when we don't have conflicts and everything is the naming of a child over Sefer Torah, that is significant. Yizkor being said over Sefer Torah is significant. The naming of a child over Sefer Torah by a girl has one up more than a boy. They named the baby over Sefer Torah. And boy, the bris, like you said, most of the bris today and many bris today are not even done in a shul. They come meet, daven wherever you want to daven, and come meet us in this hall where we're going to have a bris. Okay, now let me just, I want to jump ahead to something before, I think it's very, very important. In Bells, they have a very interesting minhag, very interesting hakpada. Anyone that is a chiyuv, if there's, let's say they have this from I think it seems from going back in their tradition, anyone that is a chiyuv in a situation where there's only a few chiyuvim, not everyone is a chiyuv, they're very makbid not to give a chiyuv the last aliyah. Do not give a chiyuv, especially about a yard site, someone who has a yard site, acharon or shvi'i, under no condition. Do not give him the aliyah. Very, very big hakpada. I'm assuming that where you can't, where there are too many chiyuvim and you can't, and there's nothing you can possibly do, you have no choice. So then what are you going to do? Then you'll have no choice. You'll give the last person shvi. By us, we've never heard of this. We don't pay attention to this. Get an aliyah. What difference does it make? You get shvi, you get achar, you get ha'safis, acharon, you get shish, you get shlishi. You never heard of this. Why is this their custom? What is it? So it touches upon something that is a very powerful concept. After you lain 7 aliyahs on Shabbos, or if you have a sophist after Acharon, or during the weekday after you lain the 3 aliyahs, what do you do? What do you do? You recite Chatzi Kaddish. Yiskadal v'yiskadash Shnei Rabbah. What's the purpose of reciting that Chatzi Kaddish? What's the main purpose? In Halacha, it's to be mafsik. To be mafsik between the kriya and what comes next. The haftorah, during the weekday, between the kriya satorah and the next part of davening, asher v'letzion, It's to be mafsik. So what do you do when we're mafsik? We say a chatzi kaddish. That's the basic reason, but there's a lot more to it. The kaddish is also a kaddish to commemorate the loss of a person. I mean, we say kaddish, you know, we people who have yartzeh, they say kaddish. Who's this kaddish for? Who gets to say the kaddish? So I learned something new here, I never saw before. So we once had the shmuz, who says the kaddish? It seems, I don't think it's done by them either, but it seems that there was such a custom by somebody, somewhere, at some point in time, that the kaddish is the property of the gabbai. Yesterday we spoke about the gabbai. The gabbai is the representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are three main people who stand by the bima: the gabbai, the oile, and the koire. The koire is Moshe Rabbeinu. The oile is Klal Yisrael, and the gabbai is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The gabbai is a very significant person by the bima. The kaddish that is said when Kriyas HaTorah is over, I've never seen it done by the gabbai, never. But it seems, is according to one opinion, one approach, is the property of the gabbai. It's his pay. How do you pay the gabbai? Bizyonis. You curse him out when the davening is over. You go home and you curse him out. He did this, he did that, right? Everyone hates the gabbai. The gabbai always gets the business. So how do you compensate the gabbai for all the garbage he takes? All of the abuse, all of the suspicion. It's his kaddish. He gets to say that kaddish. That kaddish, you should know, is a very significant kaddish. You know why? Think about it in shul. Think about what goes on in shul. People really listen to that kaddish. When you come to Kaddish Yosem at the end of davening, half the people are out the door. When it comes to Kaddish Drabonon in the beginning of davening, half the people aren't even there yet. People don't really pay much attention unless you're saying Kaddish. But what's the purpose of you saying Kaddish if no one's really listening, no one's really concentrating and answering Yehei Shmei Rabbah? That's why people like to daven for the Amud, because you daven for the Amud, you're going to say Kaddish before Baruch Hu, and you're going to say Chazar Sashas, they're going to answer Amud. Maybe somebody will have Kavan, and the answer will be a Zuchus for the Niftar, for the one that you send Kaddish for. But the Kaddish, Yosem, at the end of davening, unfortunately, people don't listen as much as they really should. But the Kaddish, I've noticed this very often, the Kaddish that is said at the end of Kriyas HaTorah, people listen to, and there's a very nice response, Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Where I daven on Shabbos, I've always noticed that when they finish laning and they say Kaddish, there's a roar, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach. There's no roar for the Kaddish before the beginning of davening, because here people aren't there. And the end of davening, people are already talking, they're getting ready for the Kiddush, they're not interested. But the Kaddish that they say when laning is over, you know, it's a nice kaddish. People listen, and they answer with kavan, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach Li'olam Ulyom El Maya. Who has the zuchus to say that kaddish? Who gets to say it? Who is the balabos on that kaddish? Let's say the gabbai wants to give it as a gift. You know what? Today you can say the kaddish. It's the gabbai. It's his property. Okay, that's a very interesting thing. Now let me tell you some other opinions. Other opinions hold that this Kaddish was instituted by Chazal to be said for people for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. There are people who have died in the community who maybe are not from religious families, or even if they are from religious families, for whatever reason, no one's saying Kaddish for. Why not? I don't know. Whatever the circumstances are. So it's very sad. These people, they've died, they've left the world, and there's no one saying Kaddish for them. Chazal established that the Kaddish that is said at the end of Kriyas HaTorah should be said as a memorial for the people for whom nobody is saying Kaddish for. Okay, that's already two different ideas. In the bells, he write, they build this bell safe, they write about the Kaddish is the property of the Gabbai. I hardly doubt today in bells, in Eretz Yisrael, the Gabbai says this Kaddish. I hardly doubt it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what goes on there. I hardly doubt it, but who knows? But one thing, but then, who normally says the Kaddish? The Baal Kriya. Now, I believe I did see somewhere that the Kaddish is the payment to the Baal Kriya, the person that was so kind to prepare the laning and to suffer all of the bezionis for making all the mistakes and being corrected, the mistakes he did make and he didn't make. So I think there's another approach, if I'm not mistaken, that the Kaddish is a gift to the Baal Kriya, the one who lanes. Now, many shuls, I know, I'm sure you've all seen this, many shuls, they have a whole different approach to the Kaddish. And there are people who have yard sites, or are people that are within Yud Beis Shana, and they come to the Gabbai, and they say to the Gabbai, you know, I have yard site today, could I please say the Chatzi Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah? Baruch, does that ever happen to you?
We did not have that many. I know of the many, but we didn't.
Not that many. I think my father, on Wiesbaden Avenue J, I think they started doing that. I think Alan Gross, you're here. Do they do that still? Do people still do that? People who have Yud Beis Shana? Yud Beis Shana, they come up and they want to say the Kaddish. Sometimes, so if a person wants to say the Kaddish, Gesundheit, let him say the Kaddish. He has Yahrzeit that day, he has Yud Beis Shana, he wants to be the one that has the schus of saying the Kaddish, kol hakavod. And by the way, those two ideas are in conflict. Because there is, it's brought down, okay,
You don't do that.
In Young Israel, I remember once in a while, my father would, someone would want to do it, they would do it. In any event, it's brought down, I remember seeing this in the different Sfarim and Hilchos Avelos, is that in some shuls, there's a very big hakpada not to dear let a person who has Yahrzeit or is mitoch Yud Beis Shana say that Kaddish. And even if the Baal Kriya, for example, if the Baal Kriya is mitoch Yud Beis Shana, he should not say the Kaddish. Someone else. Why? It's Gezel. It's Mamish Gezel. Because this Kaddish was established to be said for people for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. There are people in the community that have died and no one is saying Kaddish. This is their Kaddish. If you're going to let a person who has Yahrzeit or a person who is mitoch Yud Beis Chodesh say the Kaddish, what are they going to be thinking when they say the Kaddish? Ah, this Kaddish should be for the Zuchus, for the Elias Neshama of my relative. Excuse me, it's Gezel. This Kaddish is not for your relative. This Kaddish is for the people for whom no one is saying Kaddish. Your relative, you'll say when davening is over, or you'll already said it before Kaddish Yosem in the beginning of davening, or you're davening for the Yomot. Don't be a chazer. Don't take all the Kaddish for yourself. This Kaddish goes for the people of no one. So therefore, we bedafka do not let you say this Kaddish. You give this Kaddish to someone else in the Tzibor who is not involved in these matters, he will say the Kaddish on behalf of the people for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. So they never hug him. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. In some shuls, they don't even know what they're doing well. They just do whatever they do. But some people who know this, they're very makbid. No! Do not let someone come forward in the shul and say, oh, I have your side today. I want to say the Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah. No, you're a ganef. And in some shuls, they don't hold from this. They hold this night, we don't follow that. Adarabah. There's some shuls that have a minhag in the bedavka. They call up people bedavka who have yard side and this, that they should have the covet of saying the Kaddish for their relative. They're different minhagim, yesh v'yesh. And then I told you, the other minhagim who hold that the Kaddish is the property of the Gabbai. It's a zuchus to say the Kaddish for the living. It's his property. The Gabbai is the one that says Kaddish after laning is over. And some say that it's the property of the Baal Kriya. In most shuls, the Baal Kriya is the one that says the Kaddish. Is that because just practicality? Is that because if he's already the Baal Kriya, a maschel b'mitzvah, I'm a gemar, is it because there's a certain consistency in the one who's reading, they have his attention, his voice, they're used to his voice? I don't know, there can be a million reasons. Is this because of ignorance? People don't know what he's doing anyway, so he says the Kaddish. Probably a combination of everything put together. Why am I telling you all of this? Because I was blown away. I was blown away reading this Hasidish Sefer from the Minhagim of Bells, where they write in this Sefer, whether they do it today or not, I do not know, but it used to be in the olden days, that it was a hakpada not to give a person who was a chiyuv, especially for a yortzeit, the last aliyah. Why not? Because if he's standing by the bima when he finished the last aliyah of the laning, and he makes the bracha asher nosan lanu Torah semes v'chayei oylom nota b'sachinu baruch atah Hashem leseina Torah, what is he going to do? He's going to say, Yiskadal v'yiskadash mei rabah. He's already standing there. He's already has the attention of the tzibur. He's making the bracha acharoina. He has the aliyah. It's so easy if you put a child in a candy store and there's no one watching. And the balabas goes out, what is the child going to do? He's going to take some candies and walk out of the store. So if you put the fellow by the bima and you give him an aliyah on the last aliyah, and the next thing is yiskadal v'yiskadash, it's inevitable. He's, I'll say the Kaddish, yiskadal v'yiskadash shnei rabah. And then you'll start a precedent. And then next week this can happen and that's going to happen, and it's going to be all downhill. And what are you doing? You're stealing. Who are you stealing from? Well, in Bells, he writes here, you're stealing from the Gabbai. It's none of your business, this Kaddish. This Kaddish belongs to the Gabbai. It's his payment. Don't start a precedent to take away the zuchus of the Gabbai. But for me, I told you, this is just a springboard to understand things a little differently. For me, the other approach, you're stealing from the people for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. You don't want to set up somebody to chap the Kaddish and take it away from what the Kaddish was meant to be said for. The Kaddish was meant to be said for the people for whom no one is saying Kaddish for. Giving the last aliyah to a person who is a chiyuv, you're just looking for trouble. So it's a very interesting thing. See, I have a very bizarre minhag. Who would imagine? Go to a shul, you're a chiyuv? Oh, you can't get shvi. What kind of crazy minig is this, right? What kind of bizarre minig is this? It's amazing how rich these minhagim are. There's enormous amount of depth in these minhagim. Because after this aliyah comes a kaddish. And you know what that kaddish is for? It's an extremely complicated kaddish. Look in Shulchan Aruch. You know why it's there? It's a mafsik. To separate the laning from what comes next. That's only one of many reasons. It's a kaddish as a payment for the Gabbai, a kaddish for the payment to the Baal Kriya. Don't take away the zuchu, the kaddish for the people from whom there's no one saying kaddish for. And this is all these nafkaminas, who gets to say the kaddish, who is the first rights? Who do you have to ask reshus from? Let's say you have a fellow who's desperate to say the kaddish. Who does he have to ask permission from? You have to ask permission from the Gabbai? Or do you have to ask permission from the Baal Kriya? Or maybe you should go to all the people who voted for Biden, whom no one's saying Kaddish for. Who do you have to have ask permission from to say this Kaddish? Who does the Kaddish really belong to? And that's why, you know what? Don't get involved. Don't give this last aliyah to the shvi, to a person that is a chiyuv. Okay, now let me tell you, there's another thing. Let's talk about something else very interesting about Avelos. Tuchas Avelos. Very, very interesting. There's no Gelach Lemaisa. There's another person that's a very big chiyuv to get an aliyah. People don't always know about this. And Rachmana Litzlan, a person who gets up from Shiva. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, was sitting Shiva, and he gets up from Shiva. Let's say he gets up from Shiva Sunday morning. Monday morning, he is a chiyuv to get an aliyah. He's a chiyuv. Now, on the list, where does he come in the chiyuvim? I don't know if the answer of Baruch. A Baruch, where does he come in the chiyuvim? To get an aliyah. How much kedim does he have? A person who gets it from Shiva.
I saw it brought down. I don't remember. I saw it years ago in the Sefer. It's not brought down in mainstream, but it is brought down someplace. I don't know where it's brought down.
Okay, it does seem to be a chiyuv to give a person who gets up from shiva to get an aliyah. Why? So basically, the reason is
you're talking mid 11th month, right?
No, shiva. No, shiva.
Oh, shiva. Okay.
A person who gets up from shiva. Rachmana
Litzlan. It's the 11th month.
Okay, Danny doesn't talk about. When he stops, Danny doesn't talk. Danny doesn't talk about. These are all minhagim. Okay, one thing at a time. What's the pshat? Why? So basically, an ovel is not generally an ovel. Someone who's within shiva, in the base ovel. Let's say you're in the base ovel.
He can't get an aliyah.
Why not? An ovel is also to learn Torah. An ovel is not allowed to learn Torah. Getting an aliyah is the ikar talmud Torah. An ovel does not get an aliyah. Let's say he's a kohen and he's the only kohen. If I'm not mistaken, he's supposed to walk out. If I'm not mistaken, the ovel is supposed to walk out because he's not allowed to get an aliyah. An ovel is also in talmud Torah. If he's in the base ovel itself and they're davening, he's a kohen. There's no other kohen. He has to walk out because an ovel cannot get an aliyah. Same thing with a Levi. So the question, so what about Shabbos? Also not, unless he gets an aliyah every single Shabbos, because then it would be Avelus Bifar Hesia. But if an Ovel does not ordinarily get an aliyah on Shabbos, then if he's Toich Shiva, he does not get an aliyah on Shabbos.
And also if he was called up by mistake, he has to go up.
If he was called by mistake on Shabbos only.
On Shabbos.
Now during the week... During the week, it could be that he can't even take it during on Shabbos. He was called by mistake, so then of course, then you go up because then there's not on Shabbos. They're allowed to learn.
Even bitzin,
the whole shiloh. What are they allowed to learn on Shabbos or whatever it is? That's not the point. The point is now what happens? What happens? Why? What's the reason? So now to show that. He's now permitted to learn Torah. It's a very unique type of aliyah. You're getting called to the Torah because now you can learn Torah. Where do you have such a concept? We look at getting aliyahs. It's just a kibud. It's a kibud. You know, it's very fuzzy. What are you doing when you get an aliyah? So we discuss when a person is naming a child, you're not just getting an aliyah. Oh, I'm getting an aliyah on a baby. Oh, mazel tov, get an aliyah. No. You're naming your child within the framework, a backdrop of the kedusha of the Torah HaKedusha. It's not a kibbutz. You got it all wrong. It's not, oh, I had a baby. Oh, so give me kavod, give me an aliyah. Everyone should say mazel tov, make a brachas. No. You're doing something now very significant. You're going to name your child. It should be within a whole environment of the Kedusha of Torah. That's a very different approach to understanding what the Aliyah is about. When an Ovel Rachmana Litzlan after Shiva gets up from Shiva, when he gets an Aliyah, it's not, oh, get an Aliyah, now you survive the Shiva. You survive. No, you're not just survive. You are now being reintroduced to Talmud Torah. There were 7 days where Torah was off limits. You're not allowed to learn. You have to stay away from Talmud Torah. Now that the Avelus is over, it is once again permitted for you to learn Torah. And therefore, welcome. Welcome to the world of Torah. It's not a kavod. It's not a, it's not to give you attention, to menachem you, it's to bring you back to where you have been removed from. Now, what becomes a very fascinating shayla, Achman Litzlan should never be a shayla, is when the person gets up from shiva on Shabbos. The person, Achman Litzlan, he starts shiva on Sunday. So when does he get up from Avelus? Shabbos. Miksas hayoyim kikuloi. So that means on Friday, he has to observe the entire Friday until the amount of time it takes him to get ready for Shabbos. And then Shabbos morning, we apply the principle of Miktsas Hayoim Kikuloi.
It's on if the Shiva ends on Shabbos morning, the minig is to wait till after Davin.
Oh.
Not in the morning.
So the question is, this is the nafgamina, when a person's last day of Avelus is on Shabbos, can you give him an aliyah Shabbos morning? You give an aliyah. So there are different minhagim. Rav Baruch said that the more common minhag is, no. If today you're getting up from Shiva, we're not going to give you your achiv, and he's a achiv. He's a achiv getting aliyah when the avelus is over, the Shiva is over. So give him Shabbos morning. Miksas hayoim kikuloi. So you wake up in the morning, for 5 seconds there is avelus. After 5 seconds he comes to shul. So now when he comes to shul, the avelus already is over. Miksas hayoim kikuloi. So why he should be a chiv to get an aliyah Shabbos morning? And the answer is, the common meaning is no. The miksas hayoim kikuloi does not end until after davening. The miksas hayoim kikulo, that's really an avelus bitsina. There is no avelus bifarhesia, but there is an avelus bitsina. When does the avelus bitsina of Shiva end? So the minhag is, it does not end until after davening. So wait a minute. What is called davening? Davening mean after you finish Anim Zemirois and Kaddish Yosem? Or maybe davening means when you finish your silent Shemona Esrei of Musaf? Does it mean after Kriyas HaTorah? Before Kriyas HaTorah? You know these parallels we discussed, this Kiddush. When does the Chiv Kiddush begin? You're allowed to drink before Shabbos morning, before davening. Oh, I have to make Kiddush. I have no obligation to make Kiddush until after davening is over. At what point is the obligation begin? So we pretty much follow a minhag, and this is the contradiction. This is what I'm telling you now is going to be a contradiction when it comes to Kiddush and Avelus. Our minhag is that we hold the Chiv Kiddush begins after you finish Shachris, before Kriyas HaTorah. I told you when I was a kid, we went to camp in the different sleepaway camps. What do they do for children? On Shabbos, they daven Shachris. And before Kriyas HaTorah, they march all the kids out of shul to the dining room and they make Kiddush and they give out cookies and milk before Kriyas HaTorah. And everyone has to sit down and they make Kiddush. Why are you making Kiddush? Why? The Chiv Kiddush first begins after davening is over. We're in the middle of davening. No, once you finish the Shmone Esrei of Shacharis, davening is over. And now you have an obligation to make Kiddush. If you will follow that same principle when it comes to Avelus, once you finish the Shmone Esrei of Shacharis, now Miksas Hayoim Kikuloi has been fulfilled. Now when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, you're after the Avelus. If you're after the Avelus, you have an obligation to get an Aliyah to reinitiate you into Talmud Torah. Yet, now let's go back to Kiddush. There are many poskim that say no. The obligation to make Kiddush first begins when? After Kriyas HaTorah. That's a very good heter for a bar mitzvah boy. Sometimes you see a bar mitzvah boy, they give him a cup of water. You ever see that? I used to see that. Bar mitzvah boys, when he's laning, they give him water. They give him a cup of water. You ever see that? They give bar mitzvah boys a cup of water. He's laning. They give him a cup of water. How could you give him a cup of water? He has to make Kiddush. This is the chinuch. This is the chinuch for a bar mitzvah boy, to have him eat, drink before Kiddush on the first Shabbos. Could you imagine what's going to be by the time he becomes 20 years old? He'll be a shikur. If you're starting off giving him water, drinking, eating before davening is over, he'll go to the Kiddush club. You're initiating him to the Kiddush club. He didn't make Kiddush yet. So there's a heter. What's the heter? That the chiv of making Kiddush does not begin until davening is over. Davening is not over until after Kriyas HaTorah. The chiv Kiddush first begins when Kriyas HaTorah is over. And this will be a very good, I think they do this in Ger. Some Ger Hasidim, they learn, they have a Seder. They daven Shachris, and before they have Kriyas HaTorah, they learn. During the learning session before Kriyas HaTorah, are you allowed to have a cup of coffee? So many of them do. Oh, Kiddush, Kiddush, Kiddush. No! The Chi of Kiddush first begins after you finish Shacharis. We're not yet finished Shacharis. The Kriyas HaTorah is part of Shacharis. We have not yet lain, so there is no obligation to make Kiddush yet. It's like now, it's before the obligation. Before the obligation, you could certainly drink, and you can even eat, because you already davened. It'll be a solution, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, before you blow shofar to make Kiddush. Then if you want to eat, you don't have to make Kiddush then either. This is a halachic, I have a sefer here that has a whole section on this. This very complicated issue. Exactly when does the Chi of Kiddush begin? Does it begin after Shmona Esrei, before Kriyas HaTorah, or does it begin after Kriyas HaTorah? It's the same exact issue regarding Miksas Hayoim Kikuloi, when the last day of Avelus ends on Shabbos. When the last day of Avelus ends on Shabbos, you have Miksas Kikuloi, when does that come to an end? The minog is after Yedavin Shacharis. What is called Shacharis? Does it include Kriyas HaTorah or does it not include Kriyas HaTorah? And there's a very big nafka mina, because you have an obligation, whatever that means, I use that word very loosely, there is a minog to give an ovel after he gets up from Shiva and Aliyah. So if the Avelus comes to an end after Shacharis, before Kriyas HaTorah, then you would give him an Aliyah Shacharis. He has an obligation to get an Aliyah. And some do that. There's definitely kehilas that do that, have a custom to do that. But Baruch is telling us that his custom, and many, many, many minhagim, no, he does not get an Aliyah. He gets an Aliyah at Mincha, Shabbos Mincha, not in the moment, because they hold that the Miksas Hayoim Kikuloi does not end until after the laning is over. He's still Toich Shiva. I only leave off on a positive note. Okay, it's very late on a positive note. Okay, he has a whole section on Misha Berachs, a fascinating section on Misha Berachs. One thing I just point out is, on Shabbos, we say Shabbos, it's Megit, this week's parsha. Shabbos, he milizoik, urefua kereva lova. That's what we say when we make a Mishrech for a Choyle. After you get an Aliyah, why are you making a Mishrech for a Choyle when you get an Aliyah? Same idea. Over a Sefer Torah. The sanctity, the kedush of the Sefer Torah should contribute to being me'oire rachamim upon the choyle. And when you make them, you mevakesh for the choyle on Shabbos, the unique nusach. Shabbos hi melizoik urefu krevelovai. This week's parasha, it says in the pasuk, Moshe yedaber v'olokim yanin v'kol. So many want to say that this expression, Shabbos hi melizoik urefu krevelovai, is a conversation. We say to Hashem, Shabbos Himalizik. We say Shabbos, the schus of Shabbos should be a day where the person who is ill should stop crying out. And when Hashem sees us do this, Hashem is the one who responds. Urefuah kiroivo lovoi. As we make a mistake, we think that the entire expression we're saying, it's not. We are only saying half of the expression. And the second half of the expression, we're saying it in the name of Hashem. We say Shabbos hi milizoik. Shabbos is a day that this fellow should stop crying in pain. And Hashem says, oh, urefuah kereva lovoi. This week's parasha, it says in the pasuk, Moshe yidaber v'elokim yanenu b'kol. What is Moshe? Three letters. Mem, Shin, Hey. Shabbos, He, Melizoik. The first letters of those three words spell Moshe, not in order. Shabbos is Shin. He is Hey. Melizoik is a Mem. Shin, Hey, Mem. Moshe, not in the same order. Shabbos, He, Melizoik. And what does Hashem answer? V'elokim yanenu b'kol. Kof, Vav, Lamed. Urefuah, Kiroiva Lavoi. The three, there are six words. Shabbos Himalizoik, Urefua Kreva Lavoi. Shabbos Himalizoik, Arashe Tevois, Moshe, not in order. Urefua Kiroiva Lovai is koil not in order. Shabbos Nimalizik is what we say, and Urefua Kiroiva Lovai is what Hashem says. And all of this is hinted to in this week's parasha. Moshe Yidaber Mem Shenhei V'alokim Ribbono Shel Olam Ya'anenu answers Bekoil. We say Refua Kroiva Lovoi. That's what we are Yidaber. We say those words. Shabbos Yimelizoik. And Hashem Elokim Ya'anenu. Hashem answers us Bekoil Kuf Vav Lamed Urefua Kroiva Lovoi. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Should be taka. We should taka have refuah. Everyone should be gesund. Arichas yamim. And we should all be able to come back to the world of reality instead of the world of...
We are in reality. Rabbi, we brought up the Yisker topic.
Yes.
Why is it that the people who don't say Yisker have to leave? It's disturbing. It's...
Good question. Why they should stay? They should stay and watch all the grown men cry.
Where does this minhag come from?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know.
I thought maybe that
was even worse than the end of Yisker.
The Sfaradim do stay in shul.
They don't say Yisker to Sfaradim.
They say it every Shabbos.
Listen, I don't.
You say a Yehira thing for the rub. You make a mishaberech for the rub, and most of the people are not in shul when you make the mishaberech. When you make a mishaberech with Sal at the end, if the people won't go out for Yisker, they should really be back by then.
All right, that's a separate issue. But why they go out? Whatever, you can say whatever you want to say. I'm sure many adults want privacy. They themselves want private. They don't want to be disturbed. They want.
It was Ayin Hara reasons also.
Ayin Hara.
Yeah, that's what it is. It says in the Sfarim that they, you know, if they, you know, you're looking at somebody who has parents who say, oh, he should know the tzoras I feel.
Right.
And so they walk out.
There are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of different reasons.
I know,
a lot of
but that's one of the reasons. It says.
I have another question, Rabbi Levine. When we talk about the chiyuv of the Aliyah. Is the chiyuv on the kohol to give a personal aliyah, or is
No, he's saying very good. He's saying chakira.
Or is the chiyuv on the person?
You're saying very good. You're saying a lomdusha question. Certainly, you can probably be mafalpel in this, and you can find sources both ways.
You're the chiyuv is not on the kohol.
Why not?
Is the head of kriya?
There's a gabai.
Babbage is noyeg when there's a yahrzeit.
Yeah.
They'll make 100 minyanim just to get an aliyah.
Okay, that different minhag. Right. There. Obviously, it's both. There's an element of both. You have an obligation. You know, it's your personal obligation. You have, but yet there's a gabbai who calls you up, and the gabbai is the representative of the tzibur, and kriyas haTorah is a din in the tzibur. So it has to be that there are elements of both. Now, where do you draw the balance? Where do you draw the balance? I don't know. You're saying very good. Lom Shavart, you have to study the sources, exactly where all this comes from. And I'm very confident that you'll play around with this and do research. You'll find elements of both. And where's the balance? Good question.
And Avel, we say he's getting the Leah to celebrate the idea. He's able to learn now.
Right.
Saying Professor Torah every day and...
Yeah, but it's a different caliber. When you get an aliyah, this is a whole different world. You say Birchas HaTorah every single day, but to get an aliyah, to be called to the Torah,
there's a whole article by Rabbi Dr. Sholom Brody, if a father can be moichel on avelus, and he brings a shakar v'tariah, it seems that a parent can write a shtar saying, I'm Meichel, you don't have to say Kaddish for me after the Shleishim.
Okay, what about sitting Shiva? He can't be Meichel on the Shiva.
No, he can't be Meichel on the Raista. On Shiva, maybe. Shiva,
he can't be Meichel
on
Shiva.
I'll send you a copy of it.
Kaddish, right, there's a whole discussion. Can the father tell I don't say Kaddish for me? This is an old Shaila.
It's even more. The Shaila becomes if you have weddings to go to.
Right.
Usually they're not there to go to the wedding, but you can write a shtar saying, I don't want you to
right. Very good. Right.
And it's acceptable.
The father says to the child that when I die, I want you after 30 days, I want you to go to weddings, go to simchas, I'm meichel on the whole thing. Does it work?
It does work, and I'll send
it. If you ask this to a rav, they'll tell you, don't confuse me with the facts.
Yeah.
Don't go to the weddings.
No, the shaila is, even if he's Michael, can you do it? So you can do it always, you know.
These are minhagim.
The
these are minhagim, not going to the Yud Beis Chodesh is all minhag. It's not Nikar Hadin. Yeah, this, that. There's something to perception in society. If people in society see you going to weddings during Yud Beis Chodesh,
so Rabbi Heschel Schechter of Reeds, his father did it to him.
His father told him what? Not his father told him to go to wedding.
Yeah, send him a Marota Mishnah. I don't want you to sit shiv after this.
Yeah,
I know you.
So what did he do? What did he do?
What he did is he didn't go to weddings because he said it looked funny. But he went to a bris and they were mechabed to talk. He started off saying,
"My father said that." Okay. Makes it right. But what did he say? What was the first thing he said? It will look funny to go to a wedding. Exactly what I told you. It looks funny. So, you know, there are things that are mutter, technically are mutter, but, you know, you're not gonna go stand out like a sore thumb.
But if it's a wedding that you have of your kids or your nephew.
That you don't need a heter. That even if they're not meichel you. That even if the parent says, I want you to sit here forever for me. I don't want you to ever forget, never to go to a wedding. So even if they tell you pahakpah the gemur, you can still go to your grandchildren's wedding.
Anyway, I send it to you. I send you the chakira 25 pages.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
have a great day. Have a great day, everyone.
Mark, where's your car? You can't be in your car?
Master Chris.
Good morning, Alex.
Shalom Aleichem. Alex, how are you?
Fine.
Shalom Aleichem. Have a good day. Have a good day.
Husband supposed to say Kaddish.
Sorry? How long? 30 days.
How long?
No, nothing. A husband does not say Kaddish. Only the children. The husband does not say Kaddish.
Okay.
A husband does not say Kaddish. Only the children.
I hear different answers. 7 months, 1 month.
No, the children. The children say the Kaddish, not the husband. Alex, how are you?
Okay.
You're around the corner over here on Ocean Avenue?
Yeah.
In your apartment?
You are in the shul?
I'm in the shul, yeah.
When you park usually?
I don't park. Sorry, when we start, What time do we start? We start like 9:40. We're supposed to start at 9:30, but we start like 9:40. Okay, good to see you. Good to hear you. Be well. Ron, how you doing?
I'm defrosted.
You defrosted? How's the minion going?
You saw me outside this morning.
I saw you? Where did I see you?
I sent you a picture, me and the minion at the minion.